had one of those times, and as soon as I say this, I think most people are going to nod and realize how bad these times can be. But those times when your mobile phone or your tablet or your laptop just seems to stop working. Just lots of nods, you know, or it just goes slow. For some reason, it just grinds to a halt. And, you know, we become so dependent and reliant upon them that when these things stop working, it can throw us into a crisis. You know, I've got two daughters, one of whom fairly recently had that problem. In her own phrase, she had a meltdown. "Dad, I'm in meltdown," because her laptop had stopped working. To be fair, she needs it for university work, but it had completely stopped working, or just about. And here's the video clip she sent me. This is a laptop, and that's all her Mac was doing. Just flashing on and off, that was it. Complete meltdown, complete crisis. She lives in London, so I'm, 150 miles away or something? What am I supposed to do? So, of course, in these situations, you do what you always do. You get on your other phone, or your phone, or whatever else, you get online, and you go and try and make an appointment with Apple. And to cut a very long story short, because it really, believe me, was a really long story, and it went on for weeks, she finally got an appointment with the maker, with Apple themselves, with their Genius Bar, makes me smile. And they took one look at it and said, "We need to factory reset your laptop. The only way we can solve this is a factory reset." So fortunately, she'd backed everything up, factory reset the whole thing, restored it back to the way Apple had made it in the first place. Crisis averted, laptop as good as new, smiling, happy daughter, dad off the hook, didn't have to reach in my pocket to spend any more money. Everything good. Factory reset. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder whether we wish we could have a factory reset in our life. You know, wouldn't it be great if at times of crisis or other times you could put aside all the problems and issues of life, clear out all the hurt and dirt, and press the reset button. Clean start again. Or maybe, like a car, you decide you're going to take it, have it completely valeted, completely cleaned, clean top to bottom, inside and out, so you've got that just new smell about that car again. Full, as if it was coming straight from the manufacturer. You know, the good news is that we can actually have that as individuals in our life. In fact, you've heard today from four ladies who've experienced that in their own lives. They talked about effectively pressing that reset button and changing their lives. I wrote down deliberately as they were sharing just some of the phrases that they used. So Sophie talked about, "I want to stand up here today and publicly share that God has changed my life." Nikki said, "I want to be obedient, repent," which is that whole idea. The word repent is not just about saying sorry, it's actually about turning 180 degrees from going my way to going the other way. It's that same reset thought, and be obedient to be baptized. Jill shared about wanting her faith to be made stronger and to be restored in terms of what she's doing and the walk she's going on with Jesus. And Lynn, bless her, talked about that low point in her life. She actually said, "I felt like I got no purpose, no point, no care." But then she got those verses in Jeremiah which talk about God having a plan for her life, her being a child of God, and that ability, if you like, to just reset her thinking and have God restore her. And she's nodding as I'm saying this, just the act of restoration. You know, and Jesus, when he walked this earth, you read the stories of Jesus' life, that's what he said he came to do. He came to restore people. And he didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. He demonstrated he was who he said he was by restoring people spiritually, physically, and emotionally. See, he didn't just patch people up and send them on the way. He made people whole again. This is what the Bible says about what Jesus came to do. The heading says, God has set things right. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. Not only for us, but everyone who believes in him. You see, if you believe in Jesus today or have the opportunity to believe in him, he is a God who sets things right. God did it for us out of sheer generosity. He put us in right standing with himself, a gift, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in, and here's the word, restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. See, God is still in the business today of restoration, of restoring people. Today he wants to restore you to the way he designed you, the way he made you, the way he intended you to be. Why? To do the things for which you were made. Lynn's verse again talked about God having plans for her life, and he, Lynn, is going to walk with you and take you on an amazing journey. See, he wants you to know his purpose for your life, the purpose for which you were made and equipped, and to be fit for that purpose. You heard some of the testimonies today. That's what Jesus does. He just doesn't do it for the four who stood up. He's done it for me. He's done it for lots of other people here. And he can do it for you today. And then, and again the lady referred to it, they talk about repent and be baptized. You see, he asked, once we accept his restoration, he asked a second thing, and that is for those who give their lives to him and have experienced this restoration to bear witness of that to other people. And that's what baptism's about. You may think, if you've never seen a baptism before, and you won't have seen one certainly like we're about to do today, you may think, this is weird, what's it all about? But actually, it's just a picture that's God-given, and has God given it to us. It's a picture that just allows us to visually see what it is God has done in each of these four ladies' lives. See, there's nothing magical about the water, particularly not the water in Pete and Kath's hot tub, believe me. We haven't imported water from Rome or from anywhere else. It's not like they've been pouring holy water into this hot tub all day. There's nothing magical in the water. There's not even anything magical about the words that we're going to use in the baptism. We are going to ask each person to just again declare their love for Jesus and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but there's nothing magical in those words. You see, in the end, it's about the heart. It's about what has gone on here inside each person. And that's the testimony of these ladies today, is what God has changed inside. You see, Jesus looks on the heart, not on outward actions. All through his life, he stressed the importance of what's inside and what's inside working out to what we do outside. And you know, as I was writing this, just as quick aside, I think I've got time very quickly. Isn't it interesting that today, more than anything else in this world, we are so fed up of people who say one thing and do something else? We all distrust politicians, excuse me, who say they do one thing or believe in one thing and then do something else. And Jesus constantly criticized people, excuse me, for saying one thing and yet doing something else. You see, it's about what happens in here. So today, as I close, we're celebrating the fact that these four ladies have chosen to believe in Jesus. They've turned away from from doing things their own way. They're lining up their lives with his plan. And they're declaring in whom they've put their trust. That's what baptism is about. And the physical thing you see, which is them going down under the water, is a picture of that reset. It's a picture of going down. The Bible calls it dying to self, that I'm giving up my own way of living and rising up, and hopefully each of them will rise up again. And when they rise up, just declaring that that's what they've done. They've allowed God to reset their life, and it's a wonderful celebration for each person. And it can be a wonderful celebration for you. If you are a Christian here and you've never been baptized, just like these four, God is calling you to give a public declaration of all he's done in your life. And even today, if while I'm speaking you're thinking, I should really have done it today, there still is time. If you want to come and see me afterwards, we could organise for you to get baptised tonight. There's still time. But if you want to do it next time as well, that's fine. But as God's speaking to you now, come and see me afterwards. So finally, and it really is my finally, I just want to do one thing as we close. Have you got a mobile phone? Take it out. Interesting test to see how many actually have. See, if you've got a mobile, I don't know whether it's an iPhone or a Samsung or whatever it is, but just take it out from your setting. Don't start reading your messages. It's terrible, isn't it? Everyone's checking what's going on, football scores and whatever else. I'm willing to bet if you've got a phone that actually there are instructions from the maker somewhere about how to do a factory reset on that phone. If you've got an iPhone, you go to settings and you find it under backup, and you can actually restore your phone to the way it was when it was shipped from Apple, and likewise and so-and-so with Samsung or whatever. Every manufacturer provides a factory reset capability. And the reason I've got you to take your phone out is I just want you to remember one thing when you look at your phone tonight, tomorrow. I'll confess it's one of the first things I do when I wake up in the morning. When you look at your phone, please remember that God has given you a factory reset option. An option to turn to him and say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want you to restore me to the way I'm supposed to be and the way you made me. And you know, he'll do that for you. If you don't know him, then I'd love you to come and talk to me afterwards. And if you want to experience this for yourself, I'd love to pray with you at the end of the service. And if you do know him, next time you look at your phone, just give him thanks for all he's done in your life. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mark. And please take that opportunity up if you want to speak to Mark at the end, to talk to him about baptism. Pick it up. Now, the person who owns the hot tub is Pete and Kath. So we have to ask him to say something because it's his hot tub. And he's a bit like that. He wouldn't let us use it if he wouldn't let us speak.
Yeah, I love the front. So, okay. The only issue that we have tonight potentially is parking. Okay, so I got room. We got room for about 20-ish cars. So I'd like to just get a sort of... So we've got a potential to have a bus busing people back and forth to the estate. But if we've only got 20 cars, then we don't need the bus, yes? I'm just wondering, over this side, if you came and you drove, yeah, can you put your hands up? So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, right, okay. Okay, I think we're gonna need the bus. Okay, so